I'm Haley Williams of the Buffalo Buttes, and you're listening to The Experience Hockey Talk.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans, and we're brought to you by the Tilkill in Frederick, Maryland. The Tilkill Pub and Eatery, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtics-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilkill Grills. For more on the Tilkill Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And today is May 6th. Dixon is here with me. We're actually together in the same room. Not Skype. And we were wearing the same t-shirts, and then he took his off. Jackass. You ain't booty. You ain't booty. I just want to make that clear. And speaking of not booty, we're going to go into Game 3 of the Washington Capitals at the Pittsburgh Penguins, which your lineup is Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and TJ Oshie, Marcus Johansson with Evgeny Kuznetsov, Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Mike Richards, Andre Burakovsky, Daniel Winnick with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson, your defense pairings with Carl Alzer with Matt Niskanen and Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, Dmitry Orlov with Taylor Chorney, and Braden Holtby in the net. And in the first period at 6:37, Patrick Hornquist would score his fourth of the playoffs from Trevor Daley and Connor Sheary. Then at 7:37, Thomas Kuhn-Hackl will score his second of the playoffs from Matt Cullen and Chris Letang. Then at 8:35, Justin Williams would be called for interference. Then at 10:08, Derek Pouliot would be called for hooking. And at 15:41, then Chris Letang would be called for interference. And at 18:09, Daniel Winnick would be called for slashing. And then at 19:22, Phil Kessel would be called for slashing. At the end of the first period, Pittsburgh was up 2-0. Shots were 14-8 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 16-11 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 19-9 in favor of the Caps. The Caps were 0-2, as were the Pittsburgh Penguins on the power play. And analysis, it was a good first period for the Caps. Two unfortunate breaks, though, as the Pens were able to get two fluky goals. However, the Caps were able to control most of the play and will need to keep the pressure and remain disciplined. And at 6:30 into the second period, Justin Williams would be called for tripping. And then at 15:03, Carl Hagelin would score his third of the playoffs from Nick Bonino and Phil Kessel. At the end of the second period, it would be Pittsburgh up 3-0. Shots were 28-14 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 23-20 in favor of Pittsburgh. Hits were 42-17 in favor of the Capitals. And on the power play, both teams were 0-3. This was another strong showing for the Caps, but once again, the bounces went the Penguins' way. The Caps need to keep their cool and stay out of the penalty box. Also, maybe some line changes to mix it up and try to get something going around Matt Murray's net. The Caps need to keep pressing. And then in the third period at 8:02, Alex Ovechkin would score his fourth of the playoffs from Matt Niskanen and Nicholas Backstrom, their third and sixth of the playoffs, respectively. Then at Carl Hagelin would be called for tripping at 13:19. And then at 19:06, Justin Williams would score his first of the playoffs from Alex Ovechkin and John Carlson, their fourth and sixth assists of the playoffs, respectively, as well. Pittsburgh would go on to win the game 3-2. Shots were 49-23 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 36 apiece. For faceoffs, hits were 58-25 in favor of the Capitals, and on the power play, the Caps were 0-4, where the Penguins were 0-3. Overall, I think the Caps played a good game. This was just a game of bounces that went Pittsburgh's way, unfortunately for Caps fans. And key thing is, guys had to remain disciplined. Obviously, Justin Williams got benched during the game, but was able to score a goal to redeem himself for some of his past transgressions this series. But also, you know, they got to get better quality shots on goal. And hopefully, when we talk about Game 4, oh wait, we're not going to have much to say about Game 4 that's going to be happy-go-lucky. And with that, we have NHL news and notes for May 2nd. In the NWHL, Lexi Bender has signed a contract with the Boston Pride for the 2016-17 season. General Manager Haley Moore announced Bender and the Pride agreed to terms on a one-year $10,000 contract. Bender, who played at Boston College, scored 95 points in 19 games and 19 goals and 76 assists in 154 games with the Eagles. The defenseman skated in two games in the USA Hockey Under-22 series in 2014, where she scored one goal. Bender was drafted by the Pride in the third round of the 2015 NWHL Draft, 11th overall. Lisa Chesson has signed a contract with the Buffalo Buttes for the 2016-17 season, General Manager Rick Seeling announced. Chesson and the Buttes agreed to terms on a one-year $15,000 contract. Chesson from Ohio State finished her collegiate career in 2008 with 89 points, with 27 goals and 62 assists in 145 games. With USA Hockey, defenseman has played in five Four Nations Cup tournaments, three IIHF Women's World Championships, and won a silver medal at the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver, British Columbia. Chesson scored 6 points, 3 goals, 3 assists in 5 games in that tournament. And also, Kalia Johnson has signed a contract with the Connecticut Whale for the 2016-17 season. General Manager Lisa Giovanelli announced on Monday. Johnson and the Whale agreed to terms on a one-year $13,000 contract. Johnson, also who played for Boston College, played 142 games with the Eagles in her NCAA career, scoring 43 points, 7 goals, 36 assists from the blue line. She was a member of the USA Hockey team that won silver at the IIHF Under-18 World Championship in 2012. And then in the NHL Awards category, Philadelphia Flyers defenseman Shane Gostisbehere, Edmonton Oilers forward Connor McDavid, and Chicago Blackhawks forward Artemi Panarin were named as finalists for the Calder Memorial Trophy Award to the top rookie in the NHL. Gostisbehere, 23 years old, scored 17 goals, the most by rookie defenseman since Dion Phaneuf had 20 in 2005-06. He led rookie defenseman this season in goals, assists, points, power play goals, and power play points in 64 games. He also scored 4 overtime goals, setting a league rookie record and tying for the most ever in a season by a defenseman. Gostisbehere also had a 15-game point streak, a league record for a rookie defenseman, and a Flyers record for rookies. McDavid, who's 19 years old, was fourth among rookies with 48 points despite playing 45 games because of injury. He missed 3 months with a fractured left clavicle, sustained November 3rd. His 1.07 points per game average was third among all players to skate in at least 40 games. The first pick of the 2015 NHL draft, McDavid had 12 multi-point games, including a 5-point game, 2 goals, 3 assists, February 11th against the Toronto Maple Leafs. At age 19 years and 29 days at the time of the game, he was the ninth youngest player with a 5-point game. And then Panarin, 24 years old, signed with the Blackhawks on May 1st, 2015 after 7 seasons in Russia and led rookies and was tied for 9th in the league with 77 points. He also led rookies in goals, assists, power play points, and game-winning goals. He became the 4th Blackhawks rookie with 30 goals and first since Eric Daze in 1995-96. He also had a hat trick February 17th against the New York Rangers, the first Blackhawks rookie with one since Tyler Arneson during the 2002-2003 season. And with that, we are actually going to go to a quick little break, and then Dixon will kick over with Game 3 of Dallas Stars St. Louis Blues. Looking for hockey cards to build your collection or that specific card you would like to have to get signed by your favorite player? Then I recommend Just Hockey Cards out in Silver Spring, Maryland. Donald takes good care of me when I'm looking to build my collection, and he'll help you too. For inquiries, reach out to Donald at blake4av@aol.com. That's blake4av@aol.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. It is now time for Dixon to go over Game 3 of the Blues and Dallas Stars.
Okay, so for May 3rd, you have Dallas Stars versus the St. Louis Blues for Game 3. Your Blues lineup is Jaden Schwartz, Jordy Lateref, Vladimir Tarasenko, Alexander Steen, Paul Stastny, Troy Brouwer, Robbie Fabry, Patrick Bergeron, David Backes, fourth line Scotty Upshaw, Kyle Rodziak, and Ryan Reeves. Defensive pairings, Joe Bomeister, Alex Pietrangelo, Joel Edmondson, Kevin Shattenkirk, Carl Gunnarsson, Colton Parrico, and Brian Elliott in net. First period goal by Dallas at the 4:44 mark. Colton Scovier, assisted by Jason Spezza and Johnny Oduya. St. Louis goal 5:41. Alexander Steen from Paul Statsy and Troy Brower. St. Louis penalty 13:08. Scotty Upshaw for high sticking. Dallas penalty 15:45. Vernon Fiddler for slashing. And a St. Louis power play goal at 16:10. Scored by David Backes, his fourth of the playoffs, from Kevin Shattenkirk and Vladimir Tarasenko. Shot 2-1 after the first in favor of St. Louis. You have 10 shots to 9 in favor of St. Louis. Faceoffs go 14-10 in favor of St. Louis. Hits go 19-8 in favor of St. Louis. Dallas is 0-1 on the power play, and St. Louis is 1-1. Second period, you have a St. Louis goal at the 2:34 mark, scored by Troy Brower, assisted by Jay Bomeister and Alex Pietrangelo. St. Louis goal at 3:50, scored by Vladimir Tarasenko from Patrick Bergeron, and also assisted by Robbie Fabry. Dallas penalty at 4:47, Jamie Benn for tripping. Dallas penalty at 8:47, Vernon Fiddler for roughing. St. Louis 8:47 penalty, Ryan Reeves for roughing. And a Dallas penalty, Jason Demare for tripping. Dallas penalty 17:53, Anton Russell for delay of game. St. Louis power play goal at 18:03, scored by Alexander Steen, assisted by Vladimir Tarasenko and Jaden Schwartz. And a St. Louis penalty at 18:57 mark, Jay Bomeister for tripping. Score at the end of the second period is St. Louis 5, Dallas 1. Shots go 26-19 in favor of St. Louis. Faceoffs go 31-21 in favor of St. Louis. 28 hits for St. Louis against Dallas to 17. Dallas is 0-2 on the power play, and St. Louis is 2-4. Third period, you have a Dallas penalty at 9:07, Jamie Benn for cross-checking. A St. Louis penalty at 12:42, Colton Perico for roughing. Dallas penalty at 14:02, Cody Eakin for hooking. Dallas penalty 16:59, Steven Jones for boarding. St. Louis penalty, Ryan Reeves, 5-minute major for fighting. Dallas penalty 16:59, Curtis McKenzie, 5-minute major for fighting. St. Louis penalty 17:50, Troy Brower for slashing, and a St. Louis goal at 18:06 mark, scored by David Backes from Carl Gunnarsson. End of the game now. End of the game stats. St. Louis ended up winning the game 6-1. Shots go 39-26 in favor of St. Louis. St. Louis won the faceoff battle 42-31. Hits go 34-27 in favor of St. Louis. Dallas went 0-4 on the power play, and St. Louis went 2-7 on the power play.
Now I just need to chime in real quick. His name is Steven Johns. Where do you get Jones? Son, we need to learn these names.
I went too quickly on that one.
You think? Now, of course, I'm just chiming in because I'm buying you some time. But why don't you do the NHL news and notes? Hopefully you do that better with the names than you do the St. Louis Blues players.
Your NWHL news and notes from May 3rd.
Aren't I a wonderful friend?
Cindy Rossler, Nicole Connery, and Nicole Costa have signed contracts with the Connecticut Whale for the 2016-17 season. General Manager Lisa Giovanelli announced Tuesday. Rossler and the Whale agreed to terms on a one-year $15,500 contract. Costa and Connery both agreed to terms on a one-year $15,000 contract with the Whale. Rossler, a defenseman, collected 52 points, 14 goals, and 38 assists in 141 games with the Bobcats, where she captained in her 2015-16 senior season. Connery, a forward from Newmarket, Ontario, scored 102 points, 42 goals, and 60 assists in 145 games at Quinnipiac. A forward out of Mississauga, Ontario, Costa collected 123 points, 39 goals, and 84 assists in 137 games. All three players have experience with Hockey Canada at the IIHF U18 World Championship. Pittsburgh Penguins defenseman Chris Letang has been suspended for one game for interference against the Washington Capitals forward Marcus Johansson during Game 3 of the team's second-round series in Pittsburgh on Monday, May 2nd, the NHL Department of Player Safety announced today. The incident occurred at 15:41 of the first period. Letang was assessed a minor penalty for interference. Bob Hartley was fired as coach of the Calgary Flames on Tuesday. The Flames were 35-40 and 7 this season, 5th in the Pacific Division this season, and 10 points behind the Minnesota Wild for the final wild card in the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Western Conference. Hartley won the Jack Adams Award as NHL Coach of the Year last season after the Flames made their first playoff appearance since 2009. They won a playoff series for the first time since the 2004. Hartley was 134, 135, and 25 with the Flames. Mark Giordino of the Calgary Flames, Matt Martin of the New York Islanders, and P.K. Subban of the Montreal Canadiens were named finalists for the NHL Foundation Player Award, which is presented to an NHL player who applies the core values of hockey, commitment, and perseverance and teamwork to enrich the lives of people in his community. NHL clubs submitted nominations for the award, and the finalists were selected by a judging panel. The NHL Foundation will present $25,000 to the chosen charitable organization of this year's recipient. Giordano, the Flames captain, has spent the past two seasons teaming with his wife and the Calgary Board of Education to create a unique community program called Team Giordino, which provides resources to four low-income Calgary schools. Funding from the Team Giordano supports the purchase of computers, journals, and other school supplies, as well as floor hockey equipment. Students in the program are encouraged to achieve their goals using the 5 G's Giordano believes are the keys to success. Since its inception, Team Giordino has donated $200,000 to its four schools, impacting the lives of 1,400 students. Martin, in his seventh season as a forward with the Islanders, has spent the past 6 years working with various organizations focused on children and the military. Last summer, he created the Matt Martin Foundation in order to continue raising awareness and funding for the causes closest to him. Those include, among others, the NYPD Widows and Children's Fund, the Boomer Esiason Foundation for Cystic Fibrosis, ACDS, Defending the Blue Line, and the Islanders Children's Foundation. The inaugural year of the Matt Martin Foundation raised more than $75,000 for these charities. Subban, in his seventh season as a defenseman with the Canadiens, announced in September 2015 a $10 million pledge over a seven-year period to Montreal Children's Hospital Foundation. Committed to leaving a legacy on the ice and in the community, Subban chose to focus his philanthropic efforts on helping sick children as well as their families. That has resulted in more than $800,000 of fundraising for MCHF through several activities and the support of P.K. Subban Foundation during the 2015-16 season. Subban, using his gregarious personality and a far-reaching social media presence, has employed various initiatives to engage the community and raise awareness about those causes nearest to him. Brian Boyle scored 2:48 into overtime to give the Tampa Bay Lightning a 5-4 win against the New York Islanders in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference second round at Barclays Center on Tuesday. The Lightning took a 2-1 lead in the best-of-seven series. Game 4 is in Brooklyn on Friday. The goal was upheld after it was reviewed to see if Boyle entered the zone offside. Tampa Bay forward Nikita Kucherov scored the tying goal with 38.4 seconds left in the third period. He took a pass from Jonathan Drouin and beat goalie Tom Greece. It was Kucherov's playoff-leading seventh goal. The Nashville Predators scored four answered goals, including two on the power play from James Neal and Philip Forsberg, to defeat the San Jose Sharks 4-1 in Game 3 of the Western Conference Series at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday. St. Louis leads the best-of-seven series 2-1 with Game 4 on Thursday. Neal tied the game 1-1 at 5:11 of the second period. Defenseman's Mattias Ekholm delivered a pass to Neal, who was able to one-time the puck past Sharks goaltender Martin Jones from the right circle.
And with that, we're going to let Dixon catch his breath and go on a quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, that next big convention's right around the corner, which is AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com today. And And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. It is now time for Game 4 of the Capitals and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And your lineup for the Capitals was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, Marcus Johansson with Genny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Mike Richards, Andrei Burakovsky, Daniel Winnick with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson. Your defense pairings was Carl Alster with Matt Niskanen, Dmitry Orlov with John Carlson, and Mike Weber with Taylor Chorney. Braden Holtby was your starter in the net. And at 2:58 into the first period, Jay Beagle would score his third of the playoffs from Tom Wilson and Taylor Chorney, both their first assists of the playoffs, respectively. Then at 9:16, Pittsburgh would get on the board. Let me read for the chicken scratch. I had Patrick Hornquist and Trevor Daly, then Sidney Crosby, and now we're back at Trevor Daly. I don't think they changed it again since then. So Trevor Daly with his first of the playoffs from Patrick Hornquist, and originally from Trevor Daly, but Trevor Daly can't pass to himself, so he goes to Sidney Crosby. Then at 15:30, Carl Hagelin would be called for interference, and then at 17:43, Matt Niskanen would be called for hooking. 18:52, Patrick Hornquist would be called for tripping, and then at 19:36, Jason Chimera would be called for tripping. At the end of the first period, both teams would be tied at 1 apiece. Shots were 16-12 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were even at 10 apiece. Hits were 17-15 for the Caps. And on the power play, the Caps were 0-1, and Pittsburgh was 0-2. It was a good start by the Caps with the goal by Beagle in the first 3 minutes of the game. However, a bad change on D proved costly as the Pens were able to tie the game. Not ideal to be ending the period with a flurry of penalties. The Caps need to stay out of the box and up the pressure in the offensive zone. And then at 3:07 into the second period, Matt Cullen would score his third of the playoffs from Tom Kuhn-Hackle and Brian Dumoulin. Then at 8:31, Ben Lovejoy would be called for hooking. Then at 9:47, TJ Oshie would be called for cross-checking. At 16:19, John Carlson would score his fourth of the playoffs from Justin Williams, his third assist of the playoffs. And at 18:45, both Ian Cole and Tom Wilson would be called for roughing. At the end of the second period, it'd be tied 2 apiece. Shots were even at 24 each. Faceoffs were 25-24 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 33-32 in favor of Pittsburgh, and on the power play, the Caps were 0-2, where Pittsburgh was 0-3. This was an ugly period for the Caps, but they got their game going after Evgeny Malkin threw a high hit on Daniel Winnick. Tying the game late in the period for the Caps was good, but they must remain disciplined, forecheck, and wear down the Penguins' D, and they need to keep pushing if they hope to tie this series. Then, I don't know why I wrote down Pittsburgh penalty, but Carl Alsner is not a Pittsburgh Penguin when he's a Washington Capital, but Carl Alsner was called for high staking at 16:22, and Washington and Pittsburgh would be tied 2 apiece at the end of the third period. Shots were 34-31 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 38-35 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 45-40 in favor of Pittsburgh, and on the power play, the Caps were 0-2, where Pittsburgh was 0-4. This was an okay period for both teams. It seemed as if both teams were trying to play it safe, going into overtime, being disciplined, getting and sustaining a strong forecheck in the offensive zone, and getting traffic in front of Matt Murray will be the keys for the Caps if they hope to win. And most importantly, just shoot the damn puck. Too many passes, and even then, you can't even connect on your passes. Then going into the first overtime at 2:34, Patrick Hornquist would score his fifth of the playoffs from Connor Sheary and Brian Dumoulin, which would then give Pittsburgh the 3-2 win and a 3-1 series lead over the Washington Capitals. Shots were 36-33 in favor of the Capitals. Faceoffs were 40-36 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 47-41 in favor of Pittsburgh. And on the power play, the Caps were 0-2 and Pittsburgh was 0-4. This, to me, was a very disappointing game. They should have played a hell of a lot better. Obviously, you know, passing needs to get a lot better. They were not throwing crisp passes, so I was not really happy. But going into Game 5, I was reading an article while Dixon was going on his spiel of the last segment with the Blues and Stars in the NHL News and Notes. I was reading about Justin Williams and how he's working with the guys in the locker room on handling this situation of being down 3-1. And if anyone can remember right, last time the Caps were involved in a 3-1 series lead, they were holding it and they lost it, so anything is possible in this series. Fingers crossed. And now for the May 4th NHL news and notes, starting with some NWHL news. Kelly Stedman has signed a contract with the Buffalo Buttes for the 2016-17 season. General manager Rick Seeling announced Stedman and the Buttes agreed the terms on a one-year $15,000 contract. Stedman led the league in average points per game with 2.0. with 20 points, 13 goals, and 7 assists in 10 games played. The forward is the first former practice player to sign a contract with an NWHL team for the 2016-17 season. And then Shelby Bram has signed a contract with the Buffalo Buttes for the 2016-17 season, general manager Rick Seeling announced. Bram and the Buttes agreed to terms on a one-year $15,000 contract. Bram, an assistant captain, scored 10 points, 4 goals, 6 assists in 15 games with the Buttes last season. She was invited to Hockey Canada's Fall Festival prior to the 2015 Four Nations Cup tournament and previously played in the 2011 IIHF Under-18 World Championships. Alex Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals, John Tavares of the New York Islanders, and Shea Weber of the Nashville Predators have been named finalists for the Mark Messier NHL Leadership Award. The award is given annually to the player who exemplifies great leadership qualities to the team on and off the ice during the regular season. Messier solicited suggestions from club and league personnel and fans, but the former Edmonton Oilers, New York Rangers, and Vancouver Canucks captain makes the final selection of the three finalists and the winner. Ovechkin has been the Capitals' captain since January 2010. He had his 750-goal season in 2015-16, helping the Capitals set franchise records with 56 wins and 120 points en route to the President's Trophy. He expanded his relationship with the American Special Hockey Association, hosting nearly 60 children and adolescents during a unique skating session in October. As an official spokesman for American Special Hockey Association, Ovechkin received Washingtonian Magazine's Washingtonian of the Year Award for his work with the special needs children. He also continued his OV's Crazy Eights program, which has provided Capitals season tickets for most valuable kids and American Special Hockey Association since 2006. Tavares has been the Islanders' captain since 2013 and 2015-16. He led the team to at least 100 points for the second straight season. He also continued his teammates program, which has provided tickets and VIP game experiences for sick and underprivileged children in the past 5 seasons. Tavares has spent more than $32,000 to create these special game experiences. He also spearheaded the Islanders fundraising for their Military Appreciation Night in November, offering a $5,000 donation to help the Islanders host more than 300 active and retired service members at a game. Weber has been the Predators' captain since 2010. He had at least 20 goals and 50 points for the third time in his career to help the Predators reach the Stanley Cup playoffs for the second season in a row. He also is a leader with several charitable organizations in Nashville and his hometown of Sikkimis, British Columbia. Weber, along with teammate Pecorine, started with the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund, which raises money and donates tickets to patients at the Monroe Carell Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt in Nashville. That initiative has contributed more than $700,000 since its inception in 2013. He also partners with Sikkimis Shootout to host a golf tournament in support of the British Columbia Cancer Society. And with that, we're going to go to break, and then Dixon will do Game 4 of Blues Stars. A battle is about to begin on Friday, May 13th at the MCW Arena in Joppa, Maryland. Global Force Wrestling, led by Jeff Jarrett, takes on Maryland Championship Wrestling and their stars for Collision Course. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit MarylandWrestling.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. And it's now time for Dixon to do Game 4 between the St. Louis Blues and Dallas Stars.
All right, you have Dallas Stars versus St. Louis Blues, Game 4. Your lineups are Jaden Schwartz, Jordy Laterra, Vladimir Tarasenko, Alexander Steen, Paul Stastny, Troy Brouwer, Robbie Fabry, Patrick Bergeron, David Backes, Scotty Upshaw, Kyle Brodziak, Ryan Reeves. Defensive pairings are Joe Bouwmeester, Alex Pietrangelo, Joel Edmondson, Kevin Shattenkirk, Carl Gunnarsson, Colton Parayko, and Brian Elliott in net. In the first period, you have your first St. Louis penalty at 3:57 mark, Jay Bouwmeester for high sticking. St. Louis scores at 10:17, Vladimir Tarasenko, his sixth of the playoffs, assisted by Jaden Schwartz and Carl Gunnarsson, their sixth and second assists, respectively. Then you have a Dallas penalty at 14-10, Cody Eakin for hooking. End of the first period, St. Louis is up 1-0. Dallas has 8 shots to St. Louis' 7. Faceoffs go 11-7 in favor of St. Louis, 16-10 for hits in favor of St. Louis, and both Dallas and St. Louis are 0-1 on the power play. So yeah, at the second period, you have a Dallas goal at 4:05. Radek Faksa scores his third goal. It was an unassisted goal. St. Louis penalty 4:21. David Backes for tripping. You have a Dallas power play goal at the 5:14 mark. It was scored by Patrick Sharp. This is assisted by Jamie Benn and Jaden Spezza. St. Louis penalty and Dallas penalty both at 11:11 mark. David Backes for St. Louis and Chris Russell both get matching slashing penalties. And at the 12:38 mark, you have a Dallas penalty, Cody Eakin for slashing. St. Louis power play goal, 13:06 mark, scored by Paul Stastny, his first of the playoffs, assisted from Vladimir Tarasenko and Alexander Steen with their fifth and fourth assists, respectively. Then you have a St. Louis penalty at the 14:19 mark, Alexander Steen for interference. At the end of the second, the score is tied 2-2. Shots go 18-16 in favor of Dallas. Faceoffs go 19-17 in favor of St. Louis. Hits go 25-19 in favor of St. Louis. And both Dallas and St. Louis are even on power plays at 1-3. The third period, there were no goals, no penalties.
Nothing happened. Nothing.
Shots go. End of the second period. It's still an even 2-2 game. Shots go 25-24 in favor of Dallas. Faceoffs go 32-25 in favor of St. Louis. Hits are 34-30 in favor of St. Louis. And power play is 1-3 for both Dallas and St. Louis. First overtime, Dallas scores the game-winning goal at the 2:58 mark. Cody Eakin scores his first of the playoffs, assisted by Patrick Sharp and Jamie Benn, their second and ninth assists, respectively. End of the game stats, Dallas wins the game 3-2. Shots go 28-26 in favor of Dallas. St. Louis on faceoffs is 34-20 against Dallas is 28. Hits go 35-30 in favor of St. Louis. And both teams end the game with their power plays 1-3.
By the way, say Spezza.
Spezza.
Say Berglund.
Berglund.
Very good. It's good to know how you say a person's name, doesn't it? Sorry, I'm just farting around here. News and notes, boy.
Your news and notes for May 5th, starting off with some NWHL news. The National Women's Hockey League today announced that the Connecticut Whale will call Northford Ice Pavilion home for the 2016-17 season. Northford Ice Pavilion is an ice skating complex with several NHL-sized sheets, including the Red Rink, the former home of the Quinnipiac Bobcats, which seats 1,200 spectators. Last season, the Whale played at Chelsea Piers, Connecticut in Stamford. Courtney Burke has signed a contract with the New York Riveters for the 2016-17 season, general manager Chad Wiseman announced Thursday. Burke and the Riveters agreed to terms on a one-year $17,000 contract. Burke, who played at Wisconsin, scored 108 points, 18 goals, and 90 assists in 158 NCAA games. She captained the Badgers and led all WCHA defensemen in points per game and power play assists in her senior season. Burke played for USA Hockey at the IIHF World Championship in 2011 and 2012, as well as the 2015 Under-22 series against Canada. Burke was drafted in the first round of the NWHL draft, fourth overall, by the Buffalo Buttes. In accordance with draft tax bylaws, the Riveters will forfeit $5,000 from their salary cap to the Buttes. The Arizona Coyotes made history Thursday, hiring 26-year-old John
Shaka
as the youngest general manager in Major League Sports history and entrusting him with charting the direction of the rebuilding franchise. Jaco, who will turn 27 in June, is a few months younger than Stan Kasten when he was hired by the NBA's Atlanta Hawks to be their general manager at 27 in 1979. Kasten is now president and CEO of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Jaco replaces Don Maloney, who was fired by the Coyotes on April 11th. After 9 seasons, Jaco co-founded and was director of hockey operations for Stathletes, Inc., a hockey analyst's firm prior to joining the Coyotes as an assistant general manager in charge of analytics 1 year ago. Naming Jaco GM was one of the several moves the Coyotes made Thursday. Coach Dave Tippett signed a 5-year contract that will begin immediately and run through the 2020-2021 season and will add the title of Executive Vice President of Hockey Operations. He will now be directly involved with all player personnel decisions. He will not have a role in amateur draft evaluations, but will concentrate on professional-level evaluations and roster fits. Alternate governor and director Gary Drummond will serve as president of hockey operations for the Coyotes. Jaromír Jágr left little doubt throughout the 2015-16 season that he planned to return for at least one more. It became official Thursday when he agreed to terms on a 1-year contract with the Florida Panthers. The contract is for 1 year at a $4 million salary with games played bonuses that could add $1.5 million, Sportsnet reported. Gerard Gallant of the Florida Panthers, Lindy Ruff of the Dallas Stars, and Barry Trotz of the Washington Capitals have been named finalists for the 2015-16 Jack Adams Award, given annually to the coach who has contributed the most to his team's success. Gallant led the Panthers to a 47-26-9 record, 103 points, to the Atlantic Division title while setting the franchise marks for wins and points. Florida had a franchise record 12-game win streak from December 15th to January 10th, a record 7-game home win streak December 10th to January 3rd, and a record 6-game road win streak December 15th to January 10th. In Gallant's second season behind the bench for Florida, the Panthers improved by 9 wins and 12 points from a season ago. Gallant is a first-time award finalist. Ruff guided the Stars 50-23-9, 109 points, to the Central Division title and Western Conference titles in his third season with the team. Dallas, which won its first division title since 2005-2006 and the first conference crown since 2002-2003, had the second-best record in the NHL. The Stars scored a league-leading 265 goals and had the third-best goal differential, plus 37, while reaching the 50-win mark for the first time since 2006-2007. Ruff, a 3-time award finalist, won in 2006 as the coach of the Buffalo Sabres. Trotz led the Capitals 56-18-8, 120 points, to the President's Trophy as the NHL's top team during the regular season, setting franchise records for wins and road wins 27. Washington was second in the league in scoring 3.02 goals per game and defense 2.33 goals allowed per game. The Capitals ranked 5th in the NHL during the regular season on the power play, 21.9%, and 2nd in penalty killing, 85.2%. Trotz is a 3-time award finalist. Mike Fisher scored 11-12 into the third overtime to give the Nashville Predators a 4-3 win against the San Jose Sharks in Game 4 of their Western Conference second-round series at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday. Fisher collected a rebound in front of the Sharks' net and slid the puck around the goaltender Martin Jones for second goal of the game and fourth of the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs. At 11-12, at 111 minutes and 12 seconds, it is the longest game in Predators history. It is also the longest game of the 2016 postseason, passing the 96-minute mark as New York Islanders and Florida Panthers played in Game 5 of their Eastern Conference first-round series. The best-of-seven series is tied 2-2. Game 5 is in San Jose on Saturday.
And with that, we'll be back on Sunday. We could be either very, very depressed, we could be very excited, or we could also be excited but very cautious at the same time. I'm just hoping it's not depressed because I might start crying. And you'll know why, depending on the result of the Caps-Penguins game tomorrow night. And with that, I'm Michael, he's Dixon. We've been brought to you by the Toll Kill in Frederick, Maryland, the Toll Kill Pub and Eatery, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Toll Kill Girls. For more on Toll Kill Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And you can follow the podcast at Experience Hockey on Twitter and on Facebook at facebook.com/experiencehockeytalk. And for all of you listening to us on SoundCloud for the first time ever, thanks for listening. And all of you listening to us on Tour Radio for the first time in a long time. I know it's been like 5 episodes. Thanks for sticking with us, guys. So we'll be back Sunday. We'll have Game 5 results in the Caps Penn series. Here hoping for a win. Here hoping for a win. And until next time, we'll see you on the ice.